This is OPB. I'm Jeff Norcross. Self-defense is the number one reason Americans buy firearms. But as Guns in America's Jonathan Levinson reports, very few people know how they'll respond if they actually have to use one. And a note here, this story has the sound of gunfire.
After the first shot came through his living room window, Brennan Pebbles ran upstairs, grabbed his 9mm handgun, and hid in the bathroom.
It was over here. And then he came in right here.
Pebbles is standing in the bathroom of his Bend, Oregon home. In a seemingly random attack 5 months ago, a home intruder shot and killed his roommate. He remembers hearing the broken glass crunching as the shooter made his way up the stairs looking for him.
That, to me, was the moment where I was like, oh God, this is life or death right now.
Pebbles tried to climb on the bathroom counter before he realized the position made no sense.
I felt just sheer panic.
When the man finally entered his bedroom, he was 6 feet away. Police say Pebbles fired 4 times and missed before killing the man.
You're not even thinking straight because you're shaking. You're terrified.
Studies suggest gun use in self-defense is rare, accounting for less than 1% of all crimes when the victim and perpetrator encounter each other. And Pebbles said he didn't think it would happen to him. He's the first to admit he's no sniper, but he's comfortable with a gun.
Was I prepared? Not really.
That night, he composed himself enough to call 911. Find a safe place, and ultimately protect himself. Missing from 6 feet away may sound hard to believe, but people who train for this situation, they miss. They miss a lot. A 2006 paper published in the journal Police Quarterly looked at New York City police officers' exchange of gunfire. The researchers found they missed more than 80% of the time when they were being shot at.
I'm Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, retired. Served previously as West Point psychology professor, Army Ranger, and infantry officer.
Grossman wrote a book called On Killing about the psychological cost of learning to kill. He says adrenaline has a severe impact on your ability to do things that would normally be easy.
The body shuts down the blood flow to the outer layer of the body in preparation to take trauma.
And that has side effects.
The dynamics that are happening, it's a kind of loss of fine motor control, loss in near vision, tunnel vision, auditory exclusion.
This isn't an adrenaline rush like that one time you went skydiving.
It really is something unlike anything you'll ever experience.
That's why the military and police induce stress during training.
Keep two on me right now! Move!
I'm in a fake city watching combat engineers from the Oregon National Guard's 741st Brigade Engineer Battalion practice room clearing. My guide to all this is Major Chris Klein.
I've been in the service now for 20 years.
He started his Army career as an infantry soldier in the 75th Ranger Regiment, an Army Special Operations Unit.
They were always training.
Day after day, they would practice what are called ready-ups.
Ready, up!
Soldiers stand about 50 feet from a target and in quick succession raise their rifle, aim, and fire 2 rounds. Then repeat, again and again.
Doing that for days and days and days, still to this day, it's muscle memory.
The idea is that they'll be better prepared for real-life situations. But then he had to do it for real.
And then I get in a firefight, and I feel like my guts turn, and I'm like, holy shit, I could die.
Despite thousands of repetitions, it took time for his training to kick in.
Like, I remember putting somebody in the sights for the first time, and it was after I've squeezed off like half a magazine. I was like, oh, that's right, I need to aim this weapon.
It's not just adrenaline. Killing another person is an unnatural thing to do.
I went into this like a school child, you know, like, and came out the other side with a huge amount of respect for what I was doing. Totally changed my perspective.
It is the ultimate human taboo.
Matt Gray is a professor of clinical psychology at the University of Wyoming, studying combat-related trauma. He says killing has consequences.
It's something that is certainly associated for most people with a great deal of guilt and self-blame and second-guessing.
Experts say moral ambiguity is a key factor in self-blame. And for Pebbles, self-defense was his only choice. But that doesn't mean it's easy.
Every day I wrestle with it. It's not an easy thing.
He has a supportive family and a pastor who he talks to regularly. The necessity of the shooting was never called into question. But still, he says he'll never take it for granted that he survived and 2 other people didn't. For Guns in America, I'm Jonathan Levinson.
Guns in America is a public media reporting project on the role of guns in American life.